Well, I think we're going to go ahead and get started. And the first questions that we always like to ask people, give us some general biographical information about you. So would you be able to tell me, well, for the tape, I'd like you to state your name and then tell me when you were born and where you were born.
I was born right here in this country in 1906, September the 25th.
Wow. Okay. And you, Mrs. Hardison?
I was born in this country, too, but north of here, on my father's farm.
Okay. In Oklahoma or Kansas?
In Oklahoma.
Okay. And when were you born?
On June 10, 1913.
She's young chicken.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's the whippersnapper here. Now, where were your families from, and what brought them to Oklahoma?
My families were from Kansas. My dad was from Turon, and my mother was from McPherson.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what brought them down here to Oklahoma?
Oh, what do you call it, filing on at home? You know, Luella, what I'm trying to get at.
I think they came, they weren't old enough to have made the run.
Right.
Into Oklahoma during the Cherokee Strip. But those people that couldn't clear up their land wouldn't live on it a year for it. Why, they went, I guess, back to the state, or it wasn't a state then, right. It was called Indian Territory.
Okay. So then they were able to file a claim on that land.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what was your father's occupations?
Farmer.
My dad?
Yeah, farmer?
Farmers,
okay. Mm-hmm. And did your mother's help on the farm? Is that what their primary occupation was?
Mother taught school.
Oh, okay. And did she continue to teach school after she was married and had
children?
Yes.
Not after she had children.
Okay. But up until the time she had children, she continued to teach school. And does that school building still exist today?
No, it doesn't.
Okay. But it was like a one-room schoolhouse with children,
yes,
and lots of different grades.
You should have been to Ditch Valley Club yesterday. We refurbished the old Star Valley schoolhouse.
Oh, wow.
And it's beautiful.
That sounds like a project that must have taken a long time.
Well, the gal that was getting the funds for us when the state had this money or wherever it come from, and they didn't know just what to do with it, they'd call her and she said, I've got a place for it.
Oh, huh.
So.
Now, how far away from here is that?
Well, what is it? About 9 miles.
9 miles from here.
Mm-hmm. There's, the old settlers had their own irrigation ditch.
Okay.
And that went back, I don't know. But the date, there's a sign up there with the date on it, and I think it said 1849. That sounds ridiculous, but...
Yeah, that sounds kind of early, but...
It was early. It was... According to old Sage and Sod, I think it was they called it Post.
Okay.
And the district was Woodward County.
Huh.
And it was Post something. I never could understand why the Post,
right,
was there. But... And I believe the address was Yelton, Oklahoma.
Yelton, huh. That's not a town that exists today at all, is it?
No.
Okay. Well, one of the other questions that we have about your, that's sort of biographical in nature, is the number of siblings that you had in your family.
Well, there were seven of us.
Wow. And where did you fall into that?
Well, from Roston down here, it was, what, 8 miles north, I believe. 8 or 9, I'm not quite sure. And it, my father's holdings was on in two different sections, 5 and 8.
Okay. Were they contiguous sections?
Yeah, well, one was across the road from the other one.
Okay.
And the, what did they call them? Township?
Township lots, or?
Yeah. What do we live in now? It's called Kiowa, isn't it? And my dad lived in Garfield, which was the county just north. The road separated the two.
Oh, okay.
So and the 100th Meridian was the boundary line.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. Now, in your family, were you the oldest?
Yes.
You were the oldest. And did you, were your younger siblings boys, girls? Four boys and three girls. How about you? How many children were in your family?
Do you mean just my mother and my mother and father's family?
Right. How many brothers and sisters did you have?
There were 8.
8 of you?
Uh-huh.
And were you the oldest or the...
No, I have a brother that's 2 years older than me, and he's still living.
Is he really?
Uh-huh. And... he had his 97th birthday in October, and I had mine in September, and he was 97, and I was 95.
Wow. Well, congratulations. Well,
the two oldest of the 8 children were the ones that are still alive today. The rest of them are gone.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so why do you think that happened?
Of course, we had to work and wait on the whole darn bunch.
That made you a lot tougher. Huh?
I think so.
Well, how did you? What was a typical day like in your household growing up? Did you get up with the sun and do farm chores, or what?
Oh, my dad was an early riser. And he had to have his hot biscuits every morning of the world, no matter what. And he had me up plenty early. And it was nothing for him to get up at 4 o'clock or so of a morning. But we went to bed with the chickens because we never had very good light fixtures back in those days. You couldn't see to read. Anyway, we didn't have much reading to do.
There weren't newspapers and other things like that.
Yeah, we did without a lot of things, you know, back then. Yeah.
And so you would get up and do chores, and then you went to school?
Oh, Dad gave an acre of his land, and that was where the schoolhouse was, just north of us.
Okay.
He donated an acre of land to the district to return back to him when they didn't use it anymore. And it was right on, it was just about a quarter of a mile from home. We walked to school all through the grades.
Now, how many children came to that schoolhouse?
Oh, my, that's kind of hard to tell. At first, the schoolhouse was full, but it just dwindled down. People began to leave, you know, till there weren't very many. There weren't really, towards the last, enough hardly to have a school. And, yes, to tell you just how many, I just don't have an idea. I know we had all the desks were full. We were had quite a little crowd at the beginning, but I don't know. I don't know how many. I don't think I ever thought about how many there were in there. Probably 20, don't you imagine, Luella?
Something
like that. I'm not too sure. I don't know.
The first year I taught at Prairie Dell, I had 23 kids in all eight grades.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the school went from first grade through eighth grade.
Yes, it was through the grades. All through the grades, first to the eighth.
What did people do that wanted to go beyond the eighth grade?
Well, there used to be a Lawrence Friends Academy, and it was 3 miles from home. And when my oldest brother graduated, Dad gave him the car, the only car we ever owned. And I started in walking. I walked 3 miles there and three back, and then finally Dad got me a horse. I rode a horse then.
Okay. And so you would ride your horse to school and just tie it up, and then when you're ready to come home?
Ride it back home. But before he did that, I walked 6 miles a day.
Oh, my gosh. Amazing. Well, and on a day like this, when it was so cold and
rainy, yes, I've had my collar to freeze around my neck for my breath. It'd be so cold.
I can't imagine. How about you? Did you go to the same school?
No.
But no, you didn't?
No.
But my dad gave a plot of land to if they would put that school in the center of the district.
Oh, okay.
So it sat on the high hill right in the pasture, a half a mile from us.
Well, that was close compared to 3 miles away.
Now, but Mother taught that school.
Oh, okay. So that was where she taught until she started raising her own family.
Right.
Okay. And did you also go to this Lawrence Friends Academy?
No, but my mother did. That's how she had a teaching certificate.
Oh, so when she graduated from there, she was able to get her certificate?
Well, you took an examination. But you'd better had that training.
Right, in order to pass
the examination. Right.
And was your family life pretty much the same, where people, your father got up very early in the morning?
Yes.
And you did chores before you went to school?
Wait, those children was the milking machine.
Now, how many head of cattle did you have?
Well, it varied.
But enough to keep you busy?
Well, we all got an education. They all went to college. But it was the old cows that put them there.
So all seven of the children went to college?
Yes.
That's amazing. Now, you told me that you attended Oklahoma A&M, right?
Yes.
And where did the other family members go to college?
Part of them went to Panhandle State.
Mm-hmm.
One went to OSU, and one went to Weatherford.
Oh, okay. And in your family, did you all go to college?
That's what I was talking about. Where I walked was high school.
High school.
Uh-huh. But this was grade school that my dad gave the acre of land. It was all through the grades.
Right. Mm-hmm. But did you or any of your brothers and sisters go to college after you finished high school?
No, they did not. They didn't have the wherewith to get started.
Right. Well, an expensive proposition.
Yes. There were none of them that got to go on to college. I would love to, but it was impossible at the time. And I had an invalid mother that had this deformed arthritis.
Oh, okay.
And I, after Dad died, I brought her in my home, and I took care of her for 8 years. And she was pretty helpless. She was in a wheelchair and pretty helpless.
Mm. Well, that must have been a very painful disease.
Oh, it was. She suffered terrible. It was awful. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yes.
What kinds of things did you do for fun out here?
Well, there wasn't much time for fun. They played a little baseball.
Just pick up games of baseball?
Yes, kind of. Sometimes you'd have a schoolroom that was full of children that are about the same age. Well, they can have some real good teams. But then as they graduated and these littler ones came along, they weren't so great.
They didn't have the talent, huh?
Well, they weren't as old.
Okay. What kinds of things did you do for fun, or was it the same?
Well, my dad was always pretty active, and he was out of romping and playing with us kids from the time till we got up a few years. And we'd play Andy over the housetop, and we'd run races. We did all kinds of things around home for our own amusement. And we had to go buy homemade toys a whole lot. And
What kinds of toys?
Well, you take a plastic lass and put a cross on the end of it and take a wheel and get behind it and make it roll for miles.
Oh, okay.
Does that sound like fun?
Well,
we thought it was.
It was the toy.
It could be.
We did a lot of things like that. And play hide and go seek and Annie over the, you know, throw the ball over the house and line up and different runs on us on each side. And I don't know. It was all outdoor games that we did mostly. And my dad was really active when he was growing up. He was just one of us.
Okay, so he'd get out there
and he got out there and he just was one of the biggest monkeys that ever was among us kids. We had a lot of fun when we were growing up because that's the kind of, we had to make our own way and find the best we could to get by. That was our way of life. And there weren't none of us that got to go on to college. We weren't that, well, I guess I'll say wealthy.
Well, but it seems like you're a very happy person nonetheless, that you've had a good life without them.
You know, that's the only way to look at life. You gotta be or else you'll be down in the dumps.
That's right. Well, tell me how old you were when you got married.
I was 22. I should have had more sense.
That's not an unreasonable age to get married. How did you meet your husband?
Huh?
How did you meet your husband?
On a blind date.
Well, I want to hear more about that.
Oh, I think it was on a special holiday that he showed up. And I knew of him. I had seen him a few times. But I don't know. He kept coming back, and I kept turning him down, and he'd come back, and I'd take him over again.
Now, what was the difference in your age?
No, 6 months.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he was 6 months older than me.
So you hadn't gone to school together? He had come into the community later?
No, he lived too far away from me. I suspect he lived 8 miles away from me, and I didn't get that far away from home.
Wow. And how about you, Miss Carson? How old were you when you got married, and how did you meet your husband?
Well, I was born in 13, and I was married in 37.
Okay, so you were 24?
Almost.
Almost 24.
I was married in April before I was 24.
And how did you meet your husband?
Oh, he worked for a old Jacob Wolf that had settled in Ditch Valley. I don't know when, but way back there. And my brother and Forrest Hardison worked together for Ralph Wolfe. Well, he'd come home with my brother, and that's where I met him.
Okay. And then it went from there, huh?
Well, I went with him 4 or 5 years, but I was going down to Stillwater to school or over to Alva or somewhere else, and then I'd come back to Prairie Dell to teach again.
Okay, and he was still there, huh?
And he was still around. He had gone to Alva.
To Northwestern?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I went to Stillwater.
So did he graduate from Northwestern?
No, he didn't graduate, but he went, several years on and off, but he ran track for Alma.
Okay.
For Northwestern State.
So was he a sprinter or a distance?
Yes.
A sprinter. So he was
a speedy guy.
He ran
a half mile.
Oh, okay. Well, now, when you got married, if you were born in 1906 and you were 22, you married in 1928? Is that right?
1929.
So mm-hmm. You got married when times really hadn't gotten hard yet.
Well, that was just before the Dust Bowl days. And I tell you, it wasn't long till the dust began to blow. I don't remember. I think it was in the early 30s when it started, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Uh-huh.
The first year I taught was, 33.
That's the year Ray was born, and he had dust pneumonia, mm-hmm. and we almost lost our oldest son with dust pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
Took him to a doctor down at Luverne, and he said, it's between you and what do you, he had quite a line to give me, if that baby lives till morning. He says he's got dust pneumonia, and he gave me a prescription to bathe him every few minutes and get his temperature down and don't miss the dose of that medication. And my mother come and sit by his bed, too, and we worked with him all night. He'd been fussy all week. And by morning, he roused up, and his fever left him. And he was just a different child. But, oh, there was hours and hours we thought we were going to lose him for sure.
Now, how old was he when he got there?
Well, he was a little under a year old. And since then, I've heard there was a cemetery that it's just across the line over in Texas, that it's all full of babies, young kids that was born in 33. And I was told that the other day. And I can't remember the name he gave me. And he does surveying. It's one of the grandchildren that my son picked up, adopted. And he does surveying work. And he said it's just a little ways over into Texas from here where that cemetery is. And it's all little children born in 33.
Oh, that is so sad.
And that was dust pneumonia. I can remember it very plain. Because I thought sure we was going to lose Ray.
Well, was he your only child that...
No, he was the first and only one at the time. I have another son, Roger. He lives at UConn.
Now, when was he born?
He was born in 40... What was it? 41, I believe. He's a year older than Dick.
Well, Dick was born in...
He's older than Tom.
Tom was born in 42. And
well, he Dick, was born in 1941. Roger was born in 1941.
Tom was born in February of 42.
Mm-hmm.
So it was 41.
So I have two sons.
Two sons. Mm-hmm. So the one was born well after the times were really terrible.
Yes. We went right into the Dust Bowl days in their early 30s, and they extended out. Oh, my. Well, the bad one was in 35.
Tell me what that was like.
Hoo-wee. I've got a whole description of it down there on that paper written
paper
on that
gave
paper.
Us. Uh-huh. Okay.
It was terrible. Wasn't it, Luella?
Yes, it was.
So you were out here in 35 teaching school when that happened?
Yes. It rolled in, and it just looked like a storm cloud, and it was so black, and we watched it rolling in, did you?
Yes.
And it raised.
Birds and the jackrabbits and the tumbleweeds all went ahead of the storm, and it got totally black. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face.
The screen door at home had blowed back again, the cement house. We lived in a three-room cement house. And my dad was out a messing. He was out a messing, trying to drive his chickens in and messing around. And he was trying to get through that wall where it blowed back. And Floyd, my husband, reached out and grabbed him by the hand and pulled him in the house because the screen door blew back clear again, no sighting of the wall. It was that dark. It was so dark. And they brought Darrell Maffitt, first time Leonard had him out, to our place to celebrate that night. And I think he was born in November, but she had never taken him anywhere. And this was the 14th of April in 1935 when that bad black dust storm hit there. That was on my sister's birthday, the reason I remembered it.
Well, now that was a Sunday, right, that happened?
Yes,
Sunday. What did you do when there were other, I know that was considered the worst one, but for instance, when you were teaching school and a dust storm rolled in, how would you handle that with all of those children you were responsible for?
You just went right on. You didn't have any covering over the windows. They were just streaks of dirt from the walls. And Old Prairie Dale School had windows across the east and across the north. But across the west was the cloakrooms, and there was a cloakroom for boys and one for girls. And those doors just shook.
So, and the storms would come in from the west?
No, usually came from the north.
From the north.
Or the east. Oh, okay.
North. It was just a terrible black rolling.
Well, you couldn't see from here to where the car is out there. It would be that dark. You couldn't distinguish anything.
How would the children react? Would they just go on doing their lessons, or would they get really disturbed? Or
No. It was an everyday thing. Almost every day.
Yeah, it was, but yet it was a little bit worse than everyday thing. I remember that they took and dampened a sheet and put it over Darrell's bed. He's on a baby bed.
Yeah.
And they wet that sheet and spread it over the top of his crib, you know, where he was laying.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it was just unbelievable. You just couldn't believe it. And the cars would park and stop along the side of the road. They couldn't drive. They couldn't see to drive. It was quite a disaster. It was just unimaginable, wasn't it, Luella?
Yes,
it was.
You came down there to school, and you picked up your chair, and you poured the sand out of it. I mean, you just tipped it, and the sand slid off.
One time, we had a little sprinkle come down through that dust, and it was mud balls.
Oh my gosh. Instead yes. of hail, you had
yeah,
mud balls.
Yeah, it was mud balls, and it was just a sprinkle. And we hadn't had any rain all year, not any rain in that year. That was the year of the bad dust storm. We hadn't had any rain.
Well, how did you talked about having to dump the sand out of the chairs and the mm-hmm. desk. How did you go about keeping your homes clean?
You didn't.
Everybody was in the same boat, weren't
we? Right. And when you set the table, and it might be 20 minutes before you were ready to eat, you turned the plates upside down.
So they'd be clean when you were ready
right.
to start eating.
They'd have been covered.
Yeah.
It just isn't real to think about it now. It just isn't real, but we know it happened.
Well, when you saw one of these dust storms rolling in, what kinds of things did you do to prepare for it?
You didn't do anything.
You didn't. You didn't.
Or we didn't.
Did
Why?
You have livestock that you had to take care of in any way?
No, you couldn't drive them.
So you would just hope for the best when it had rolled on through.
And we had a terrible time. Back then, you hung your clothes on the line, and you just couldn't pick a day. You couldn't pick a day that was a fit day to wash. But we did it anyhow.
I know we did.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you do? You would wash the clothes, and you would hang them out on the line, and then they would dry, and you would just beat the dust out of them after that, or?
Well, sometimes, I don't know. I can remember when they froze to the line.
Uh-huh.
And you pried them loose and you brought them in and you just draped them over the doors and over everything that for them to finish drying.
I can remember, you know, back then the men wore heavy underwear.
Yeah.
And we'd bring them in off the line and stand them down beside the heating stove.
Over and they were dry.
stand around the heating stove till they thawed out.
Well, did you have family members that just gave up and left here because it was so bad? Or
there wasn't any in my family because we were all at home.
My family just toughed it out. We just stayed put.
Did you have neighbors that just packed up and left, or?
There was a lot of them that left, but there weren't none of my relatives that took off.
There wasn't any of mine that left, either.
Huh.
I guess
Well, do you have memories of people, I've heard stories of just, like, caravans of cars with everything that the people own packed up in the car coming
through.
Yeah,
that was the movement of the Okies and the Arkies.
Yeah. And did you see that yourselves, of people coming through, or not really?
Well, no, because we weren't, 64 was the only gravel highway in that area, because 283...
My dad was a horse and buggy guy. He didn't never drive a car to speak of.
Hmm.
He was a horse. He liked horses. Horses and mules was his cup of tea.
My dad worked.
And you know, it's just like that song, "This is my land," you know how that goes.
Right.
Yeah. And we're just gonna stay by it, which we have yet to this day.
Well, you have. That is really true. Well, one of the things that we've heard about during this time is that people had encounters with gypsies and hobos.
Yeah, there was a few. I didn't remember too many, but I do remember in the earlier days there were a few that we were acquainted with. Saw it once in a while, but
gypsies?
Not very many. I'd heard my mother speak of it, but
okay.
In her time. But
well, I can tell you an incident. I was a freshman at OSU, and they celebrated what? Armistice.
Armistice Day.
Mm-hmm. And Alfalfa Bill Murray was the president of the United States. And it was a cold, drizzly day, and we went out to Lewis Field, and they had this little platform, and I don't know why it was slow getting started, but anyway, old Alfalfa Bill Murray, the president of, he was the governor of the state at that time. And he had on this old black overcoat, and he had his chewing tobacco, and he pulled his chair out to the edge of the podium that he was going to sit behind or stand behind. And the crowd began to leave. They saw old Alfalfa Bill, and he was a hard-looking fellow. He had a red handkerchief around his neck. So the people, they began to leave, and pretty soon Murray stood up and he said, "You cannot slander the governor of the state and stay on his payroll." And they sat down. I was a freshman. I was there.
He was quite a character, wasn't he?
He was a character. I don't think he was.
Yeah, he's pretty legendary.
Well, he wrote the Constitution for the state of Oklahoma.
So was that the only time that you ever saw him speak in person, or did you...
I expect it was. I'm not sure. Now, when he campaigned for governor, he walked, hitchhiked up and down the road.
Huh. Did he come out here?
I think he'd been in Harper County all right. Because that was part of it. He'd been all over
the state. Huh?
State. But that day,
well, in statewide political elections at the time, did you have many political candidates that would come out here and, like, maybe come to a county fair or something to campaign, or did you not really see very many people?
Well, we didn't see that many people because transportation was not that easy.
Right.
And they might come to Buffalo. But what? We're 22 miles from Buffalo.
So that might be as far west as they would ever
come. Buffalo got one of the divisions of the highway. And it was in Buffalo.
Okay. We've also heard that in this area that there were some people that took advantage of, not in a bad way, but took advantage of government assistance programs during the Dust Bowl days. Did you know people that were receiving government assistance, or did your families ever take any of the assistance that was offered?
Oh, yes. I don't know that. As I said, my dad had been the kids, and we were the milking machine. So we weren't on the commodity that was distributed.
Okay.
But I can remember, even when I was married, that we'd go down here and buy these little old tiny apples, and they might be wormy. Mm-hmm. And the government was giving great big delicious apples, but you had to be on the food relief program
in order to get the good stuff.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. they would be, but if you had your pride, you might have given 10 cents for I don't know how many, but several of those little wormy dried up apples.
Well, what kind, you talked about the commodity program, what types of things did people get through that?
Well, they got cornmeal. I knew one fella that fattened his pig on the cornmeal that they got.
Oh, that was really supposed to be for them
for
to
food.
Eat.
Yeah. Yeah. But he didn't like cornbread.
Huh. And he wasn't going to let it go to waste.
No, he fattened the pig on it and then they ate the pig.
Wow. Well, did you, at the time, what were people, I mean, you said that you had your pride so that you didn't want to take any of the relief, but I mean, how bad did it have to get for people to say, okay, forget about my pride, I want something to eat?
We had work projects. That was, we piddled around, but they built the Ruston schoolhouse.
Oh, so that was a WPA project?
Yes, that WPA is we piddle around.
Did you know many people that were involved with WPA projects?
Lots of them.
What types of things did they do out here besides build that schoolhouse?
Well, we, I guess we built the fairground over there.
Well, and I think they worked some on the highway.
Yes, I know they did.
Yes, I know. I remember Floyd working with his horses out on the highway.
Yeah.
My
dad worked on the highway.
Yeah.
And so did Mike. And they had four-horse team and this old, they called it a Fresno. It was a big old shovel of a thing that scooped a gob of dirt. You piled it up here in the middle of the road, and then they shaped it up into a road.
Well, it sounds like a lot of those projects involved really hard manual labor.
They were.
So why do you call it the wee piddle around?
Well, I don't know. They didn't want to accomplish too much for fear you run out.
Okay, so it was hard work, but they weren't like killing themselves to get it done because they needed it to stretch out.
And that's
so. What percentage of people would you guess out here were involved in some way working on a WPA project?
Well, nearly everyone that's still
are still out here. That was how they survived at that time.
Right.
Anyway, they make a dime.
Right.
They drove the cattle. The first time I ever saw my dad cry was when they drove the cattle into the canyon and walked on the bank and shot them.
Mm. And they did some of my dad's cattle that way. He lived on it was a kind of a washout clear through a canyon like, and they took some of his cattle, but they paid so little it didn't amount to much.
You couldn't pay they wouldn't pay the freight to Kansas City.
Nah, it didn't amount to nothing.
No.
Dad didn't get anything to speak of.
The old cow wouldn't bring enough money when he got to Kansas City to pay the railroad for bringing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason they drove him in the canyon and shot him. They killed the pigs. They
didn't have anything to eat. So that was the idea. There were a lot of little pigs and calves and cows, all kinds shot because lack of anything to feed them.
Some people
put up Russian thistles.
Right.
And got by that way with some thistles for feed. But it was rough.
So when they shot the cattle, then did people take them and butcher them to eat, or were by that point just they were so far gone
eat.
They weren't?
You tried to chew that stuff and it just got
like
bigger
leather.
And bigger and bigger. You couldn't eat it.
Huh. Well, we've heard that there were rabbit drives out
there
in this
was.
Area. Did you ever, did anyone in your family participate in one of those drives, or?
Oh. I don't know. I don't remember of any of our family ever going on a rabbit drive, but I can...
I remember the men a drive out to my folks, which was 8 miles from here, and they would shoot the rabbits along the fence line. And boy, they killed an awful lot of rabbits, jackrabbits and all, just piled up along the fence line. Yes, there was lots of rabbits.
Right.
And there was cottontails, mostly jackrabbits, big rabbits. And I remember Dad and the older boy, Ray, shooting rabbits, you know. And he had him where he could handle a gun, too, just like Roger's got, like Ray has Rusty, you know. And, yes, there was lots of rabbits back then.
So did you have a lot of rabbits, too, in that kind
Yes, we ate them every way you could think of.
Bunny burgers?
Yes, we ate a lot of rabbits.
So do you ever eat rabbit anymore, or is that something you never want to taste again?
No, they got to saying they had rabbit fever, which I don't know whether they had it or not, but that cooked us from eating rabbits. I don't know what the rabbit fever was, but they did say there was rabbit fever from eating rabbits. So I don't know, but it's been a long time since I've cooked one.
I cooked some for Harry.
But I can remember us thinking it was quite a treat when we were kids.
Well, it was.
To have that meat.
Yeah, you could just peel them right out, hide all off of them, you know. Soak them overnight in salt water, and they weren't too bad, I guess.
Were you ever involved in skinning? And I mean, obviously, if you were married at that time, you were skinning and cooking these rabbits yourself.
Well, sure.
Sure.
I could skin a rabbit.
Do you feel like that because of what happened during that time, did it affect your political views in any way?
Well, I don't know whether it did. I'm still a Democrat.
You're still a Democrat?
Because I lived in the state of Oklahoma.
Well, I wasn't a politician, so it didn't affect me in any way.
It didn't, huh?
Well, my dad came to this country when he was 17.
Where did he come from?
Indiana.
Oh, okay.
And now he had come with his parents from Indiana, and they settled in Erie, Kansas. But then as Dad grew up, he rode the train into Englewood.
And then he came down here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you know anyone that was not a Democrat out here?
Well, if you wanted in office,
you were a Democrat.
You were a Democrat, usually.
Right.
Because it was, well, Murray was one of them. But politically, no, we didn't hold any offices. My parents always went and voted.
Did most people in this area that were eligible to vote do that? Do they feel like...
Well, in our little old particular neighborhood, I guess everyone went to vote.
Well, my mother was a Democrat, and then my dad, he changed over when he had a friend that was a Republican, and he was a Republican. So my dad and my mother, she wouldn't go vote against him because she'd kill his vote because she was a Democrat and he was a Republican. So she'd stay home. She wouldn't go and vote.
She didn't want to cancel him out. husband and I go to cancel each other's votes out. I don't know if that makes her a more loyal wife or what.
So, my bunch weren't involved very much in politics of any kind.
Well, Dad was friends with old W.A. Davis, who was the first county treasurer for Harper County.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy Little was the something. Mark Terry was the sheriff.
Yeah.
And
I remember all of that stuff, too. And I remember Uncle Dick Maffitt, he was the one that helped us start Ditch Valley down here.
Yeah.
My dad's father's brother.
Was that date 1846?
I don't know what year that might have been, but I remember that Uncle Nish Maffitt and Uncle Dick Maffitt all lived down on the river bottom. Do you remember the Burns Schoolhouse off there? And they called it the Maffitt and the Burns Schoolhouse because that's what it was. It was Maffitt's and Burns's going down to into that school down there. You know where the bridge is that crosses the Cimarron River there.
Yeah.
Well, that schoolhouse stood right back from that for years and years. And that's where the Maffitts and the Burnses went to school. And Uncle Dick Maffitt and Uncle Niece Maffitt were my dad's brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived here at the time. And all down there on the river bank. And that's been a while.
Yes. I realize that there are a couple of questions that I wanted to ask you about, specifically about the Dust Bowl, that I failed to ask you. And one of them was, at the time, you know, as the Dust Bowl was, time was sort of moving through, what did people think was causing the dust storms?
Because the wind blew.
Yes, it was the wind, and with the way they farmed, they stirred up the land, and they had it all under. A lot of them had one ways, and they stirred the land, and they didn't change it. It was man caused it a whole lot because it was his way of farming. And he farmed the same way with those old one ways, and then the Dust Bowl days just picked it up and made it worse and worse. I have that all written out in
you
that
do.
Deal.
Uh-huh. So, did you see a lot of change in farming practices because of the Dust Bowl period? Or
there wasn't much farming going on. We couldn't do any farming until it started raining.
Well, you remember the old farmer built Puddlers, they, it was a kind of a disc of a thing on a chain, and they hooked it on behind the plows, I guess, and they'd make these little hummocks, little pockets. So if any rain ever fell during that period, it was dry, dry. But if any of it fell, it didn't run away, these little puddlers. They called them,
mm-hmm.
because there's little dams just all over it, and they farmed it on the contour of the land.
I see. Well, did you ever have nightmares about the dust storms, or
no?
Did you know anyone that did, or were there school children that seemed to be, you know, you said when the storms came in, they just kept doing their lessons, but were any of them really troubled by what was going on, or
no? It was nearly every day.
It's just the way things were, so they just kind of got on with it.
And they
poor farming method, and did the same thing over and over, and stirred up the soil too much. A whole lot of it was done by poor farming, and the same old way of farming all time, year after year, and that really got the ground all riled up and nothing put back.
Right.
Uh-huh. And it was ready for something to be done.
It didn't even, there wasn't moisture enough to grow good weeds.
To keep anything, to start anchoring the soil back
right.
down.
You didn't have anything to mix in with that pile of dust.
Well, is there anything that you would like to tell me about the Dust Bowl time that I haven't already asked you about?
Well, you could see the ends of the post. You know, you could see the tops of them. Some of them were just the tops are sticking out on account of the dust had them all.
All up
around. It was piled up among the buildings and everything.
The fences drifted over.
Yes. You could walk right over some of the fences because of the dust, the dirt.
Now, to me, a barbed wire fence doesn't make much of a shelter. But anyway, it stopped the wind.
Well, did you ever know of anyone, I know you talked about the dust pneumonia, but did you know of anyone that died on account of the dust or being trapped outside?
I don't.
Well, there was quite a bit of what they called, I told you though, about dust pneumonia among the younger ones.
Right.
And I don't know that it took too many of the older ones, do you?
I know.
But I remember it took an awful lot of the younger ones, because we almost lost Ray in
that. Well, I just wondered if it affected the elderly.
Oh, I'm sure it affected everybody to a certain extent. I'm sure it did. It couldn't help but affected us some in some ways or other, I wouldn't have thought. I don't know. Do you?
Mm-mm.
But I
can remember Mama. They'd whip these sheets at night. And they put pillows down along the foot, and then they threw that wet sheet over the head of the bed, and they went to bed in there.
Huh.
That's the way they did for that baby up there when only brought him out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we had an awful lot of it, and it was just quite a problem to get a washing done in those days.
Yeah.
It just was.
Well, it was hard enough work without having to mess with that, too.
And I suppose if we could get them dry, I suppose we'd shuck them off and brought them in and wore them anyhow.
That's right. What choice did you have, right?
Well, it just wasn't just one person. It was the whole
everyone.
It's all of us. We were all involved.
It helps when everyone's suffering equally, doesn't it?
Well, you couldn't complain to him because it blew
right.
over my house.
Exactly.
Because it did his too.
Well,
one of the things that we're really interested in with this project too is finding photographs or other things like that from the time period showing, you know, what the area looked like. And I didn't know if those were things that you might have that we might be able to make copies of, or...
I wouldn't have anything.
I don't have... We were too poor to even have film to take pictures.
We didn't have Kodaks and things back then.
Well, do you know of anybody that kept a journal or a diary during that time?
Yes, old Abbott.
You know, I have a book that I was looking at last night, and it was from Abbott's wife, and she taught school in 1883 at Rising Sun, Indiana.
Oh, I know.
In 1883. I have that book yet, and she gave it to Mama because she knew I liked poetry. It was a poetry. I was looking at it last night. It's practically all to pieces now. but it was her book when she taught, and she taught 5 terms of school at Rising Sun, Indiana, and that was Jim Abbott's wife. You know, he advertised for a woman, and she answered the ad, and that's the way she wound up where she died, and Mama did.
That's an amazing story. Well, did you ever hear any other stories of people advertising for a wife?
Well, they did back in those days, and that's the way he found Fanny. Her name was Fanny Todd, and she married old Jim Abbott, and he lived just west of the folks there. He had quite a little old dugout. He had at one time. He had a beautiful home down in there. It was pretty down in there when he was young, and he married this Fanny. And they had a big lake back of the house, and it was fed by a stream under the ground, irrigate, you know. The water come up, and they had a pump on the porch, and a bucket hanging up there all time, and it was from that well that it was just natural water, you know, that sprang up from that well. And they used that for years, but it finally dried up. But don't you remember that, Luella? I remembered when I was a kid, I went down there and I saw her mother many a time. She had her mother there with her in later years. She was an invalid in a wheelchair. And she took care of her own mother there for a long time. And her name was Todd, but I can't remember her given name. But Mama always made me go down with fruit and dessert for their Christmas, you know. I always walked and took them something for their Christmas. And she had her mother with her at the time. But yes, they had he advertised for a wife, and she answered the ad.
Well, something you just said made me think of something. During the Dust Bowl and Depression days, how did you celebrate holidays? Were there? I know that things are probably much more modest, but did people still make an effort to take something to their neighbors or to do anything like that, or? Was it just too hard?
I don't remember only that family was so hard up. I remember Mama sending me many a time with something at Christmas or other time for a little treat for them at Christmas time. But I don't know. They existed, and they had a beautiful home at one time, but it went to pieces. He had built a house back in a bank. I also had pictures of that old house. I have it in there in that old book, and where they lived. It's pretty interesting to look at it now, Luella, but that old book's coming to pieces. I tied it together last night and put it in a plastic bag. I wanted to keep it, you know.
Well, I don't blame you.
Yeah, that was Jim Abbott's folly. He called it his folly, you know, yeah. Jim Abbott's folly. And he sat on a stool, you know, up over the bank of this place, and he was watching the stars. You know, he was interested in astronomy. Mm-hmm. He was quite intelligent along that line.
Well, we really appreciate the time that you spent talking to us.